Hello, everybody, and welcome to Basic Gospel. With Richard Pfeiffer and Andrew Farley, I'm Bob Davis, and if it's 3 Central, you're hearing Basic Gospel Live. If you have a question or something you'd like to talk about, give us a call right now. We have an open line for you at 844-322-2742. In the U.S. and Canada, again, 844-322-2742. It's Basic Gospel, and here's Richard Pfeiffer.
Thanks, Bob. Yesterday, we took a look at Colossians 1, 10, 11, and 12, that area. I wanted to go back to verse 12 today and talk about that word qualified a little bit more. After radio yesterday and then thinking about it last night, I got to thinking that, you know, we have some pretty twisted ideas about what qualified means in the spiritual sense. What we tend to think of as qualifying is, for example, in stock car or IndyCar racing, you qualify, you take laps for time to figure out where you're going to be in the starting grid.
Right.
Okay, that's qualifying. Mm-hmm. And if you're in golf, you go to Q school. I mean, you may have won everything there was to win in college, but you go to Q school and discover that you're not so good. You know, and if you're good enough, then you get to play at the very lowest level of the tournaments,
yeah,
and you work your way up until you're qualified to play the majors. And in football, they call it, rather than qualifying, they call it a recruiting combine.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
right.
And then you find out if you're big enough, fast enough, and skilled enough to even have a chance to play in the NFL.
Right.
And most of the people who qualify for that chance don't make it.
Mm-hmm.
So qualification is a tough thing. If you're into music or the arts, there's always these tryouts or auditions. I've been through them. I hate them. They are the most nerve-wracking things. They're asking a really tough question. Are you qualified to join our band, our choir, our orchestra, be a member, or have your art shown at this gallery, whatever? That's what we think of as qualifying.
Sure.
So when we see a Bible verse that says, you know, that you've been qualified to share in the inheritance, you go, okay, so God's up there and he says, you're qualified. What do I have to do to get qualified?
Yeah.
And we come up with all kinds of crazy things. And unfortunately, many times churches, you know, denominations, pastors at various levels come up with this list of things.
Mm-hmm.
You'd better do this or you won't be qualified. And it's time to read this verse very closely. The Father who has qualified us or you to share in the inheritance of the saints in light. Well, he'd already talked about in Jesus. He's already given us the answer. God sent Jesus. Jesus qualified.
Yes.
So we've been qualified in him, delivered from the domain of darkness, and
right,
et cetera, like we talked about yesterday. And so this idea of qualification and the world system, we have to put that away and add back in the truth about qualification, which is Jesus qualified. Andrew, what do you run into in your ministry over this issue?
Well, first let me say, what a fantastic verse. I mean, we get to participate. We're okay. We're right. We're off the charts righteous. We're forgiven. We get to participate. And, you know, it makes me think of the Lord's Supper. First of all, look at the travesty that we have encountered with many celebrations of the Lord's Supper. I hesitate to even say celebration when
yes,
the lights go dark and everybody has to try to qualify.
Yes.
And that's exactly what we're talking about here. Are we qualified? And, you know, Jesus said, do the Lord's Supper in remembrance of him. And that's what we're saying today in Colossians 1, that we're qualified because of something that he did. And so we can wake up every day and live in remembrance of him. So you get to the Lord's Supper and they say, well, let the cup pass. If you've got any sins that you can't, you know, whatever, can't get right with God or whatever it is. And then kids, make sure no kids participate.
Yes.
Because the last thing we want is children thinking about Jesus.
Yeah.
And then visitors, you know, some places they'll say, if you're a visitor, you know, you can't. last thing we want is lost people thinking about Jesus. The last thing we want is visitors thinking about Jesus. So it's amazing how we turn the Lord's Supper into a qualification ceremony, a ritual where we're going to get cleansed and get purified, and then 5 minutes later, when the cup comes, we're finally okay to take it. And, you know, I think this passage that you've identified, Richard, is just so appropriate for people who have suffered under a misconception about the Lord's Supper. This is saying, take and eat and drink, and you're qualified, and enjoy Him. I mean, that's the bottom line. And then you think about prayer. We're qualified to approach God with boldness and confidence to find grace in our time of need. So qualified means a lot of things. It means I'm okay at the Lord's Supper because Jesus made me okay. I'm okay to talk to Dad, Abba Father, pray without ceasing, come to Him with boldness and confidence because He qualified me. And lastly, this verse made me think of 2 Corinthians 3, where it says He has qualified us as ministers of a new covenant. So we're qualified to share this message. We're asking the wrong questions. I mean, we're running around planet Earth going, am I okay? Am I okay? What does God think of me? Am I okay? And God's saying, not only are you okay, you're the righteousness of God, you're holy, blameless, righteous, and you can, in fact, share this message with other people because it's not about you. It's not about your performance. It's not about your track record. It's about me, he would say. So everything can be done in remembrance of Him, knowing that He qualified us.
Yes, indeed. Well, it is Basic Gospel. Andrew Farley is joining Richard Piper and me, Bob Christopher, still a bit under the weather. If he comes to your mind, give him a little smoke to the Lord, because he's having really suffering with that throat issue. So we would appreciate your prayers for Bob. Friends, it is Basic Gospel, 844-322-2742. That's the number to dial. And if you're hearing the live broadcast at about 6 minutes past 3 p.m. Central Time, it is the live broadcast. And we have, as I said, that open line for you, 844-322-2742. And friends, if the gospel message you hear each day on this broadcast is making a difference for you, please remember that others also need to hear, believe, and live in this good news of Jesus Christ. Your gift will help us reach them. Click donate at basicgospel.net or use the Basic Gospel app or PayPal. And in Canada, you can donate at basicgospel.net/Canada. And when you make your gift this month, we're going to send you this excellent audio CD series called Eternal Security as our thanks for your help, helping to keep this message going. Again, 844-322-2742. And we had this question that came in by email, guys. This is from Candace, and she would like to know, how do we protect our children and those of others from the evil that is growing in the world?
Wow. Well, you think about protection, and the first thing that comes to mind for me is the armor of God. And I know that many have made the armor of God into sort of these individual elements that you sort of mystically put on every day. But those elements of the armor are really about Jesus, Bob. And so I think about children needing protection, and you think about adults and what protects us. Well, a different way to think, a different way to act, a different inspiration, a different motivation. We're being changed from the inside out. And that's what protects us. The reason that we are not dying with the world, the reason that we are not harmed by the evil one, is because of Jesus. He says the evil one can't touch you. He says we're renewed, or we're transformed by the renewing of our minds. So I would say the answer is simple. It's the same answer for adults as it is for children. The short answer is Jesus Himself, but as we proclaim what Jesus has done and the offer that's on the table, the offer that He desires to inhabit us, to live within us, to give us a new heart, to give us new motivation and inspiration by His Spirit, His presence within us, to know that when the enemy comes, the enemy is going to have accusation, and Jesus is the answer for that accusation. The enemy is going to haul out a file drawer of things to tell us we're no good and we might as well sin more because we're no good anyway. We're dirty, rotten sinners, so why not throw more sins on the pile? And then the truth comes along. Jesus says, no, wait a minute. You're not the sum total of what you've done. You're not defined by your past and your actions. You're defined by me. You're born of the Spirit. You're born of above. You are in me and I am in you. And there's a new way to think. So, you know, this question, Bob, it reminds me of some of the youth that I know from our church, and I watched them grow up since they were 3 and 5 years old. And as they were taught the gospel by some very talented people, what they decided to do was share the very same message, new covenant, identity, forgiveness, living under grace, but teaching it in a creative way where kids can pick it up and get it and enjoy it. So there are not two messages. There's not one
Correct.
Message for adults and then another message for kids. It is all the same message. It's all about Jesus. It's all about God's grace. And I would say just knowing who you are is going to help kids in a major way. Knowing that you don't get your identity from what your friends think of you, from how good you are at soccer or basketball. You don't get your identity from things that you own, an expensive computer or a nice bike to ride around, or none of that defines us. And for kids to know that, I mean, I needed to know that. Every human needs to know that identity and worth and value is found in Jesus.
Yes, indeed.
Yeah, there's an aspect of this question that you can just sense the fear in it. And there are some things in this world that are fear-causing. You know, it's just there's some terrible things out there. But we cannot live our lives by fear. We can only live by grace through faith, as Andrew was just describing.
Right.
So, you know, get rid of the fear. If you're a parent and you've got young children and they're being bombarded just like everybody else's young children, ask God to lead you. Ask the Spirit to keep the fear out of you. Perfect love casts that out. And to help you understand how to present this message to your children.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
They will learn how to choose.
Sure.
And you are the parent, right? They don't get to rule you. You are the parent. You have, especially at very young ages, you get to choose what they watch, how much they watch, when they watch, all right. of this kind of thing. God will lead you.
Yes.
And this gospel is uniquely powerful to deal with what comes up every day in our lives, whether it's a kid or an adult.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I want to say one more thing, guys. You know, we talk about parenting here, and I just think about how God's grace equips us and qualifies us to be mm-hmm. parents. We've been talking about being qualified. Well, we're qualified to parent in a new way, and I would say the flesh wants to talk to your kids only when they've done something wrong, keep score with them, point out their bad grades, not their good grades, point out their faults, not their strengths. And so, you know, I think that Jesus teaches us by his grace to start up conversations with our kids that emphasize their strengths and ways to praise them and encourage them. And, you know, even as we talk about identity in Christ, what we're saying to our kids is, hey, that attitude over there that you had, that attitude is beneath you. You're above that. You are above that because of who you are in Christ. You've got a new heart. That's not who you are. For you to get jealous and take your brother's toy or whatever, that's not who you are. You're a new creation in Christ. For us to say that to our kids, I think it really is a revolutionary way to talk to kids and to parent. And God's grace equips us and qualifies us to do it.
Absolutely. Well, great answer, guys. And Candace, thanks for reaching out to us and for your heart for the kids. But keeping in mind, as always, that the same gospel that applies to adults applies to the children as
Absolutely.
Well.
Absolutely.
Okay, 844-322-2742. Lines available. It's about 14 minutes past 3 Central Time. If you're hearing the broadcast at that time, well, you're hearing the live broadcast, and you have the opportunity to call in right now and speak directly with us here at Basic Gospel, 844-322-2742. Guy, a Florida listener, cites 1 Thessalonians 5:17 that says we should pray without ceasing. The question is, how is that even possible? And if it is, how do we keep it from turning into a work?
Well, first of all, you quit your job.
Mm.
You never get married. You walk off into a cave someplace, and that's all you do is pray. It would be silly to do that, right? Our every moment when the Spirit indwells us, whether we're mowing the lawn or working hard or raising the kids or having a party or wherever we are, is a constant communication between us and the Spirit.
Yes, indeed.
Constant. The Spirit's always talking to us. We're not always listening. Maybe this learning how to listen is what this pray without ceasing is mostly about. What do you think, Andrew?
Yeah, you know, this is about a lifetime. I think we can neurotically read this and say, my goodness, I need to get in car accidents, closing my eyes, going down the freeway. I'm going to be praying without ceasing. I got to obey, And we could look at this through a neurotic lens of thou shalt, a law-based legalistic thing, but that's not what it's saying. I mean, Paul's intention here, rejoice always, pray without ceasing, in everything give thanks, this is the will of God. What he's saying is, celebrate Jesus, give thanks for Jesus, and talk to Dad. And I would just point out first that this passage is a beautiful answer to what is the will of God. People are always asking, what's the will of God? How do I find God's will? How do I stay in God's will? How do I not fall out of God's will? We are obsessed with getting in and staying in God's will because of some of the things we might have been taught in the past. But this is simple and straightforward. It says, this is the will of God for you. So if this is the will of God, you say, God, what is it? And he says, rejoice, celebrate Jesus, give thanks, talk to Dad. That's what he's talking about. And it reminds me of another passage that says, pray in the Spirit at all times or on every occasion, Ephesians 6:18. People have tried to make that into praying in tongues or a separate kind of praying. Then we've got two kinds of praying or three kinds of praying. No, Ephesians 6:18 says, pray in the Spirit at all times. So there's only one way to pray, and we should pray at all times. And what is that? Just knowing I'm in the Spirit, the Spirit's in me, I have incredible access to the Father by the Spirit. This new covenant prayer relationship is incredible. It's off the charts, amazing. Nobody in the Old Testament, before Pentecost, before the cross, before the resurrection, nobody experienced this connection with God's Spirit the way that we have it. So we get to pray anytime, anywhere, knowing that we are fully connected to God's Spirit. That is incredible.
Absolutely. Well, it is Basic Gospel, everybody. Andrew Farley is the voice that you're hearing now. Richard Piper is here. My name is Bob Davis, and we're glad that you've joined us. You know, John 10:10 quotes Jesus as saying, the thief comes only to steal, to kill, and destroy. I came that they might have life and have it abundantly. You know, understanding your state of salvation is vital to living the full and abundant life that Jesus has offered to all of us who come to him by faith. And without this understanding, the thief that we know as Satan will steal your identity as a child of God, will kill your assurance of the salvation that you have in him, and destroy the joy of your life in Christ. We don't want you to fall into that or anyone else. It's a trap. And if you have received the life of Jesus Christ, we want you to know that you are safe and secure in Jesus. And to help you understand your identity, we're offering this wonderful new CD series. It's called Eternal Security. And we'll send you a copy as our way of saying thanks as you make your gift this month. Again, click donate at basicgospel.net or use the Basic Gospel app or PayPal. And in Canada, basicgospel.net/Canada is the way to go. And when you do, request your copy of Eternal Security. Guys, an Atlanta listener would like to have your thoughts concerning that passage I cited just a moment ago, John 10:10, about thief comes to kill, steal, and destroy, or steal, kill, and destroy.
Well, that's what the thief did in the garden long ago. In the Garden of Eden, there was a stealing of identity. There was a killing in that God did not kill Adam and Eve. He warned them. He said, in the day you eat of this, you will die. And it was Satan's ploy, Satan's strategy to bring about death on those first two humans. And today, Satan is doing the very same thing, trying to steal away our joy and contentment in Christ. And, you know, it reminds me of when I was burglarized in South Bend, and then one of the guys who stole our stuff, $13,000 worth of stuff in South Bend, Indiana. Well, a few days later, a guy comes to our doorstep, and he offers it all back, but at a price. And that was extortion. And that's what the enemy does. He says, hey, a believer, what can I do to a believer? Well, I can give them the impression that they gain and lose things in Jesus, and that they can get more from Jesus for a price. If they earn it, if they pay for it, if they do their part, then God will do his part. And so this begins destroying our peace and stealing our joy and killing our contentment. So what's the answer? Well, the answer comes in the second part of this passage. It says, I have come that they may have life and have it more abundantly. So what Adam and Eve lost in the garden long ago, we regain in Jesus Christ. What's the difference? Well, Adam and Eve sinned once, and they lost life. We sin and stumble every day. James says we stumble in many ways, and yet we never lose life. That's why ultimately, guys, we have a better deal than Adam and Eve, and we need to know that this life is eternal, that we are safe and secure. We are not sinners in the hands of an angry God. We are saints in the arms of a loving God, and we need to know that and bank on it, and right there is our protection.
Absolutely. It's Basic Gospel, everybody, and you're hearing the good news every day right here on this broadcast. Glad you're with us today, and we're going to swing over to Taylor, Michigan, and talk to Tony. Tony, welcome to the broadcast. You are on the air.
Good afternoon, gentlemen. I called in today because I've called in the past, and you've given some pretty good perspective on problems that have occurred, and there is one that has come to our attention. At our church, we have a family that moved up from Texas, believe it or not, about a year and a half ago. The wife is deaf. She is unable to, but she teaches sign language.
Yes.
And it's a nice family, three boys and a young girl. And I'm just found out that they're having family problems, and that the husband has given up on his faith and decided to leave his wife. And it's such a distressing situation, and I thought I would ask your perspective. I am a member of our church council on our board of evangelism, and it's got me perplexed as to what would be something that I'd sure love to help, because they've been friends of mine.
Right.
And I'd sure love to help in some way, but I am perplexed as to what to do.
Well, I would say first we want to engage in conversation with both parties as soon as possible, especially if you have a standing relationship with them. What is the loving thing to do here? Certainly rally around that wife and help her and encourage her and be a friend to her and get people from the church who want to help minister to her involved. And then as far as the husband, ask him if he's willing to come in for counsel, either with or without his wife, but engage. That's what love does. Love connects and engages with others in their time of need.
Tony, thanks so much for your question. We're just about out of time. If you have further questions, don't hesitate to call. We love hearing from you and all of our listeners, as a matter of fact, and we're here every day live at 3 p.m. Central Time, Monday through Friday, and we'd love to have your questions. So again, friends, you know, understanding the state of your salvation is vital to living the full and abundant life that Jesus has offered to all who come to him by faith. And if you have received the life of Jesus Christ, we want you to know that in him you are safe and secure. To help your understanding and your identity, well, we're offering a wonderful new CD series. It's called Eternal Security. It's our way of saying thanks to you for your gift this month. Just click donate at basicgospel.net or use the Basic Gospel app or PayPal. And in Canada, you can go to basicgospel.net/Canada to make your gift. And when you do, be sure to request your copy of Eternal Security. I want to remind you also that the listener line is always open, always available to you, our Basic Gospel listeners, 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. 844-322-2742 is the number to call. Again, that's 844-322-2742. And as I always remind you, we love hearing from you, our listeners. And whether you call and leave a voicemail or an email, or if you call as a part of the live broadcast, we always love hearing from you. Well, remember, tomorrow we'll be back at the same time for another edition of Basic Gospel. And have a great evening, and we'll see you then. Bye-bye.